From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome to the program. In just a few minutes, we'll be returning to Matthew chapter 9 to think upon Christ, the Lord of the harvest. But as we like to do each day, we start off with our hot topic for today, why Iran and her fellow zealots will never destroy Israel. Once again, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, has treated the world to an outburst of his anti-Israeli hatred. The West has tended to dismiss these fiery utterances as the words of a madman. In fact, they are much more sinister than that. That Ahmadinejad is a certifiable lunatic may or may not be true. That he's a deliberate, rabble-rousing, murderous and dangerous leader of a state that has enormous wealth and an equally enormous capacity for evil is beyond dispute. According to this latest verbal rampage, Israel is on a countdown to destruction. She'll soon be wiped off the face of the earth. Of course, the president of Iran is not promoting violence. At least, that's what he says. He's merely stating the obvious, that the faithful sons of Palestine and Lebanon will rise up and do the Arab world the favour of removing the Israeli thorn from their side. What he doesn't say is that his government has for years financed and trained Hezbollah, one of the most vicious and effective terrorist groups in the world, and a group that is known to have members and cells here in the United States. So Ahmadinejad's diatribe is much more than the prescience of a spectator. It's the threat of a head of state that is actively involved in seeking to kill as many Jews as it can and is taking all the steps it can take to attain the ability to blow Israel out of existence. His prophecy is, in reality, both a call to action by his trained puppets in the Middle East and a warning to the feckless governments of the West of his real intentions in pursuing a nuclear capability with such determination. He means business, and he means it on a major scale. However, despite his bluster, he'll fail. Israel is not going to be wiped off the face of the earth. Others before Ahmadinejad have thought that they could accomplish this, but they failed. Colonel Nasser had no doubt he would succeed, but he failed, and today is just a sorry footnote to Middle East history. Yasser Arafat determined to eliminate the Jews. He has gone to the reward of all his kind, but Israel is still there. Ahmadinejad and Iran will be no different. It is usual to attribute Israel's stubborn refusal to be wiped out to her military prowess, which has indeed been formidable. But the real reason is very different, and that is that according to Scripture, God promised to re-establish Israel in her land and to maintain her in that possession until the second coming of Christ. The Bible is far from silent on the nature and persistence of the campaign to eliminate Israel, to cut her off from being a nation, as the scripture terms it, has long been the aim of her enemies. But still, she remains. Even as she remains in unbelief and rejection of Christ, God continues to work out his promise concerning her, and that purpose does not include being wiped out by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Meanwhile, there are encouraging reports of greater numbers of Jews, both in parts of Europe and in Israel, responding to the gospel and receiving Christ. As Christians, we should, as the psalmist commands, pray for the peace of Jerusalem as we look forward to the return of our Saviour and his assumption of the throne of David. He will return. He will assume that throne, and no power on earth will stop him.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the glowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with good. He formed the creatures with a word and then pronounced them good. For all our wonders are displayed
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found him in his word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you
and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer.
Lord, grant my yearning heart's desire that I be filled with fervent zeal to save poor sinners from the fire, to snatch them from the verge of hell, and turn them to a pardoning God, to cleanse their souls in Jesus' blood. My talents, gifts, and graces, Lord, into thy blessed hands receive, and let me live to preach thy word, and only to thy glory live. My every sacred moment spend to publish forth the sinner's prayer. Enlarge, inflame, and fill my heart with thine own boundless love divine. So shall I all my strength exert and love them with a zeal like thine, and lead them to thine open sight. The sheep for whom their Savior died.
It's time now to return to our study of Matthew chapter 9 and the theme, Christ the Lord of the Harvest. We've been thinking upon our responsibility in the harvest, and we're emphasizing also Christ's sovereign promise that he will bring the people in. That's where we take up the message today. And we will seek to follow the scriptures as they teach both the truths that Christ has guaranteed the end result, but that he uses his people as the means of reaching the lost for him. We turn now to Matthew chapter 9.
It's the Lord who sends the rains at the right time. It's the Lord who sends the heat at the right time. It's the Lord who keeps away the plagues. It's the Lord who does the work that is necessary. He's the one who produces the harvest. And when Jesus says, pray for the harvest field, he's saying, I'm the Lord of the harvest, and I have prepared souls to receive the gospel. But there is the thought of the necessity of reaping it. Now the Lord, in absolute terms, doesn't need you and me to save souls. The Lord doesn't need us to do anything. He can do what he wants. But the fact is, he wants and he wills to bring sinners in through the instrumentality of other saved sinners. That's how he works. So there's a necessity of reaping the harvest. One thing you find when you live, as I did for many years, in a rural farming community, that is a very limited time to reap the harvest. Certainly that's true in the climes that I grew up in. There was a very limited time to reap the harvest. And that's why from early morning until late at night, you could be going along and you would see the reapers with the headlights on and their machinery. That's late night. Reaping. Why? Because they knew the time was brief. And they also knew if the opportunity were lost, the harvest would be lost forever. Men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ not only kept the spiritual needs of man before himself, but he kept them before his people. He instructed us to perceive them like this, and then he instructed us in urgent prayer. Pray. 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 The first thing a Christian needs to get is a burden to pray for the lost. Before you start witnessing, before you start doing anything, before you think you'll ever be a preacher or a missionary, you've got to be a prayer warrior. And I'll tell you, if you're not willing to pray, don't tell me God has called you to preach or God has called you to be a missionary. God does not send prayerless preachers or prayerless missionaries into the harvest field. They're an abomination. They're a hindrance to the work. He says, pray. When you start praying, God will start sending. He might send others. And he might send you. He will send you somewhere to witness. For you have some harvesting to do. But he might send you where you've never thought. Throughout my life, my mother prayed that God would make her son a preacher. There's a story behind that I'll not go into this morning. I never knew that. She never once breathed that prayer or the existence of it to me. That was a wise mother. And God answered her prayer. And I'm here today as an answer to a godly mother's prayer. As I grew up, I started to pray. And as God burdened my heart to pray, then God sent. I don't know what He'll do in your life, but He says, you pray for the harvest. The Lord Jesus wants us to be instructed to care for souls. And finally, let me say in closing that as the Lord of the harvest, He answers that prayer and He provides the necessary laborers to bring the gospel to the lost. You'll find that in chapter 10. He says, pray, and immediately, and I think that's very important, He called His 12 disciples and He sent them out. Now I'm going to run through the meaning of these verses, and I mean run. He provided the men. He chose them. He called them. He commissioned them. Let's pray for that. I hear of preachers who turn down calls because their wife doesn't like the manse. It's not good enough. I've often mentioned the Methodist preacher in Michigan who told the church that they couldn't afford him. They didn't have enough money for him. God save this church from that sort of apostasy. Give us men who are called of God and commissioned. He provided the men. And He gave them a mission. Chapter 10, verses 1 and 5. He sent them to the 12 tribes. Now, I want you to notice this because it is important, for reasons I haven't time to go into this morning in detail, important to notice this. The commissioning of the 12 was in phases. It was in stages. And this is phase 1. He says in this first phase, go to the 12 tribes. That's no longer what He says to us. He says, as He did later to the disciples, go to the world. Our mission is to invade the strongholds of the power of hell and earth. And He gave them the might to do it. Verse 1. He gave them power. He gave them power. Oh, that's what the Lord gives to those that He calls, and men and women, that's what we need in our ministry, in the pulpit, and in the personal life of witness before men and women. It is the might and the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's never lose that desire. And I would again encourage every young Christian here to get before God constantly, day by day, before you do anything for God. Lord, give me Your power. I think of my friend Albert Macaulay, one of the greatest soul winners I've ever known, the greatest personal worker I've ever known. To this day, Albert Macaulay will start in the morning and get alone with God. And he may have his day mapped out and planned out, but whatever he has planned, that day starts with God. And he'll be on his knees crying until God hears him. Give me power today. It's not enough that I had power yesterday. Give me power today. Give me direction today. And people have been amazed again and again. Why does Albert Macaulay turn up at the right place, at the right time? Why do these things? You would think you were living in the book of the Acts of the Apostles when you hear this man's story. Why does that happen? How does it happen? I'll tell you, it happens in that room. I've heard Albert say it. Maybe 30 minutes I'm there. Maybe 3 hours I'm there. But it doesn't matter. I'm not moving from there until God moves me with the power and the assurance of His grace for that day's service. We need might. He provides it. He gave them a ministry. Chapter 10, verse 8, the end of the verse. He says, freely you've received, freely give. In other words, you give what God has given to you, and you give as God has given to you. He gave them the message. At the end of verse 7, He says, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And He gave them the model for their service in verses 10 through 14. Go forth by faith in Him who sent you. Verse 10. You don't take scrip or coats or shoes or staves. In other words, you're going out depending on the One who sent you. And verse 11 and following, you go forth with His authority. That's the summary meaning of going into a house or a city, and if they receive you well and good, and if they don't, shake off the dust from your feet. Can you see something? I want to finish in this solemn note this morning. When God sends a preacher, listen very carefully. When God sends a preacher, in and of himself, he can be as poor and despicable as you want him to be. But when God sends a preacher, he holds you as responsible for what you do with that preacher and his message, as if he had sent his Son in person into your midst. Read very carefully. See in verses 14 and 15 that the preaching of the gospel is a solemn thing. And anybody who would not receive one whom Christ had sent, Jesus says, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that one. It's a serious word. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. He sends preachers, witnesses out to bring sinners in. But you see, you're not just a stalk of corn or a four-legged sheep. You're a rational soul. And you're going to do something with the command of the gospel. You receive it and you'll be saved. You reject it and you'll be lost. The Lord of the harvest is here. He wants you to think about your harvest. He wants you to make sure that you're never in the place of saying the harvest is past and I'm not saved. Make sure today that as you hear the gospel, you respond to it, receive it, and once you've done that, then set out to be a witness for Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.